B-Pod Studios.
And joining us right now from ESPN, he's brought to us by Rothman Orthopedics. Let Rothman Orthopedics help you be what you were. Visit RothmanOrtho.com. Joining us right now on the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast, Mr. Adam Schefter joins us. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning, gentlemen, and good morning, Philadelphia. Hope everybody's well and safe.
We're doing all right. So far, so good here in Philly. How are you making out still in all the craziness?
It is craziness here, and it's eerie and spooky. You walk into shopping centers, and they're empty, and the people that are there are wearing masks and gloves. And you know, we haven't really left our house. I have to leave the house today to go pick up some food. I'm not thrilled about that, but going to go do that at some point in time with mask and gloves on like everybody else, and venture out for the food for my family, and we'll see how that goes. But it's a different deal now for everybody.
Yeah. Right? See, that Adam Schefter's going out in mask and gloves, people. We should all be going out in masks and gloves. Jamie was out at the grocery store the other day with a bandana wrapped around his face. Like, this is unfortunately the current norm, and that's what a lot of people, I think, have to accept, because we need to smash that curve.
Why wouldn't they go out like that right now? Like, you
look stupid. Like, that's just people's ignorance.
Who cares how it looks? Like, don't you want to be safe, and don't you want to stop the spread of the virus and
keep other
protect
people
your
safe
family?
Too.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's not even a question. Like, and it is odd. Like, every time you go out, I've left my house probably three times in the last couple of weeks. You know, to go pick up food where places that. By the way, these people are doing an unbelievable job where they are, you pull up to the restaurant and you open your trunk and they bring it out in gloves and masks and they put it in your trunk and you go home and then you transport it. You know, that's how we're doing it. And there's so many people who are doing so much. I called this Italian restaurant by my house Monday, and like, they're working on it. I'm sending a lot of food to a local hospital to feed all the doctors, nurses, first responders. Like, I'm doing that Thursday, and like, you get a shift, and so I'm feeding the whole hospital that day. Like, that was something I wanted. But the people in the Italian, right, like, they're there all the time. You know, it's unbelievable to me that these people, you know, we're saying stay home, be safe, do smart things, and we are, and these people are in the restaurant doing things to make sure that people are eating. Like, it's incredible.
Yeah.
It really is. Speaking with Adam Schefter, ESPN. Schefty, I want to get to the draft stuff with you. Yannick Ngakoue, I saw your tweet yesterday. It made me laugh.
I've been on that the last week for you. I knew it would be coming today.
I don't want to read into too much, but when I saw your tweet, I was like, I think Schefty's thinking of us with this one. I think this is one where he's going to be thinking of Philadelphia. But first off, I just want to get to this draft process.
Yeah.
Because it does seem really weird to rely on all the technology we have to rely on. And look, we're in society in general, we're relying on technology. That's how we've become. But in trying to make the decisions in the time that front offices have to make these decisions on draft night, I think you made the point earlier, it's going to be hard to trade up. It's going to be hard to trade back. It's going to be hard to trade in general throughout this process, because that's another layer of communication you have to worry about. So how is this all going to work?
Well, a lot of times, and Mike Tannenbaum, who I work with, the former general manager of the Jets, he alluded to this. A lot of times teams will have trades in place the night before, and particularly the first round is what we're talking about. So you have an idea, hey, if our guy's there, we want to trade this. Would you do this? Yes, yes, yes. And so you get it going in that regard, and you have it ready so that not much communication is needed on that particular day. That I think, is the ideal hope that you are working under when the draft occurs. But I will say this, like, I got a text from a coach last night. Let me call it up exactly. I don't want to.
Right. This is from an NFL coach about draft night and the logistics.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You should be attacking the league for the logistics of this draft. That was the text I got.
Wow.
A head coach, you should be attacking the league for the logistics of it.
Correct.
Wow.
Don't you love getting those kind of texts from Coach Schefter? I used to love that. Yeah, tell me how to do my job. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Well, I'm just going to tell you, remember last week when I talked about the fact that Like I said to you, ESPN's having the draft, and I love the draft, and I love covering the draft. I'm excited to cover the draft whenever it is. Again, my whole point has been, like, I don't understand why it has to be April 23rd. I know football fans are dying for something. I got it. But, you know, there's a lot going on in this country that demands our attention. And so I don't understand why we couldn't have this May 23rd, particularly when there's no off-season programs or anything like that. But I was astounded at the number of teams and individuals that reached out to me afterwards supporting my position. And I'm sure the ones that didn't, you know, aren't going to say, text me, hey, you're a moron, what are you saying? But I'm just telling you, the universal support that I heard from 15 teams was unbelievable.
So how did we get to this point then, where if you're saying half the league is telling you, hey, what the hell, why are we going forward with this, then why are they going forward with it?
Because the league office wants to go forward with it.
That's what I thought. Okay.
So because the league office wants to go forward with it, because I think the league office believes that it's going to give people a diversion, which it will, and it's going to turn it into, you know, goodwill with the money it raises for the causes, various causes. Okay, well, great. Again, I'll just come back to it. I don't understand why it's coming at the apex of this pandemic on the East Coast as opposed to May 23rd. Now, May 23rd, maybe it's really bad in Kansas City or Arizona or Nebraska. I don't know.
Right.
But it just seems like the timing of it is a lot. Now, again, I thought free agency should have been pushed back, and it wasn't, and it worked out great. I mean, it was really something that I think people needed that time, sports fans. It got me out of the pandemic world for the course of the day, and then you realize where you're at night, and like, oh my God. But this seems a little bit different, but the league is determined to go through with this. See it through, give people a diversion, give people some entertainment, give them something to talk about, and try to do some good as well. So the draft is going to happen 2 weeks from tomorrow, despite the fact that a lot of people believe it should be pushed back.
And I just want to clarify one thing. Your stance, are you talking about having a night of the draft every week, or every night, or are you talking about pushing it back a month?
When they were talking about what to do, how to handle that, that was one of my initial thoughts. One, you know, and the logistics of it all. And then the league made the decision to go forward with the draft. And so at that point in time, you start hearing from more and more people that are upset. And a lot of times when I'm speaking, I'm just reflecting feelings of a lot of people I'm talking to. And that seemed to be the prevailing sentiment. And again, it was just a small portion of what I heard after I said what I said when people continued to call and text with their thoughts about it.
And then the other argument that's come about is the Cowboys could have more of an advantage than other people because Jerry and Stephen Jones are going to be in the same room. Is that the feeling also around the league that the Cowboys have some kind of advantage?
I did have one team say that to me. So again, I don't know that it's real or not, and I don't know how prevalent that feeling is and how widespread. But I'm sure that there are people that have thought that, like, hey, everyone right now has to be by themselves, you know. But they're family, and so they get to be together. So that, you know, if that's just a little bit helpful, I'm sure there are teams in their division that probably aren't happy about it. And the team I heard from was not in their division, just so you know, just to be very clear. And so I don't think it's a big deal. But again, you know, the league is very careful to make sure that there are no competitive advantages, and there are people, right or wrong, that believe that is a little bit of a competitive advantage.
Shefty, when all is said and done, and say we are going to go through with this draft, we know that, and whether it's good or bad is up for debate, obviously. But when all is said and done, and this draft is done, will there be any noticeable difference from it, do you think, because of the times we're going through and the difference that you know, this draft is going to be?
Well, I think what will happen is we'll look back at the draft 3-4 years, but this happens a lot, right? You say, well, how'd this guy go in the fifth round? Sixth round, and I'll bet we have more of that in the future. I'll bet there are more guys that slip, or certain guys that get picked higher that bust. I just think those percentages will be a little bit accentuated. I don't know that everything will be quite as accurate as it normally is, just because there have been no pro days and no visits and none of the stuff that accompanies this draft, and teams don't get to do as much as they'd like to. So. that would be my guess as to how this plays out. Like, we'll see more people years from now, 2, 3, 4 years from now, wondering why this guy fell in this draft. That's just an early guess, but I don't know that that'll be proven right.
Yeah.
Speaking with Adam Schefter, let's get to the Yannick Ngakoue stuff. He was on SportsCenter yesterday. Mm-hmm. I don't believe team names were mentioned, of course, because he's still property of the Jaguars. However, it's obvious he wants to be out, and he was talking about the type of team that he wants to link up with. He talked about culture. He, of course, talked about winning. He also talked about being impactful in the community. Mm-hmm. Any idea? I think when we talked last week, I think you were of the thought that he could get moved draft week. So we'll see if that happens in a couple of weeks. Were you now on Yannick Ngakoue and possible movement?
I still think the team, the Jaguars, has to move him during the draft. You know, the week of the draft, during the draft. My guess is these are usually deals that are made often while teams are on the clock. They're going to want back significant compensation for him. It remains to be seen how much they actually will get back. There will be people in that organization, like the owner, who will not want to move him, which means that they'll be firmer in their price. But if they don't trade him, then they've got a mess on their hands. And I believe the guy, the player, when he says that he doesn't plan to play for them again, I believe he will continue to sit. So that's not good for anybody. I think that the right thing for them to do logistically is to move on from him. And so they're going to want a first-round pick, maybe then some, for him. I don't know whether they'll get a first-round pick for him or not. We'll see how it shakes out. It could be swapping draft spots. It could be swapping picks. It could be any combination of factors that get a deal done. Now, in the end, I would guess that they do trade him because they, like I said, I think they have to. I think that's the best thing for everybody involved. I don't think they want that headache on their hands, and I think the owner will see that eventually. Now, the question is, where does he go, right? So when you look at the teams that, to me, would be in the pass rush market, I think you look at them like this. You look at, in no particular order, maybe from the top of the draft down, you look at the Giants, you look at the Browns, you look at the Raiders, you look at the Eagles, you look at the Seahawks. I think those are five teams, in my mind, that will look to address pass rusher during the draft. Every team will. Mm-hmm. But those are five teams that realistically, between picks and money, you know, you could figure out a way that somehow they would make a trade for Yannick Ngakoue work. Of those teams, I don't believe the Eagles are the favorite in that group at all. Mm. I think that more likely than not, those other teams, for various reasons, picks, compensation, money, draft position, stand a better chance of landing Yannick Ngakoue than the Eagles. I view the Eagles on the outside looking in of Yannick Ngakoue. That's not to say that they couldn't get something done, because anything is always possible with them, but I don't view them as a likely destination for Yannick Ngakoue going into the draft.
All right, well, Adam, we'll just edit out the second half of your answer there, and we'll make sure we just play the first half of that. No, that's all good stuff. When you factor in all those things, as you just did, it definitely makes sense. But, I mean, you always say that the Eagles are, if there's something going on, the Eagles are in on it in some capacity.
Correct.
So that at least keeps hope alive. The other thing I need to ask you about is this report from Jeff McClain of Inquirer.com about the Eagles wanting to move on from Alshon Jeffery, at least shopping Alshon Jeffery, a month after guaranteeing the final year of his contract. Like, that's a quick turnaround kind of thing. Have you heard about the Eagles really shopping him around more so even now? He's still got the Liz Frank. He's still guaranteed the money. What have you heard about Alshon Jeffery?
Well, I just know that they'd be open to moving him. I don't know when it started. I don't know how it relates to his contract. I'm sure Jeff, my guess would be he's right, but I haven't checked into that, so I don't know. I would just say that in an ideal world, yes, something would come about. His name has come up in trade talks with other teams. Doesn't mean that he's moved. The thing with the Eagles and trades is it always has to work for them, obviously. Like, they're very particular about that. They're not just going to do something to do something. They're not going to be forced into a move. They're not going to be desperate to make a move. They're going to do it when it works for them. And while I do think that they're open to moving on from, and I, you know, I guess we all would think that they'd like to find a trade partner, I also don't rule out the idea that if nothing materializes, that they'll just sit there and hold on to him as a commodity. And if you can't move him now, you know what? Guess what? During training camp, if there's training camp, some team may lose a wide receiver and may be hungrier for a wide receiver at that point in time. So, again, I don't know that it has to happen now, though I'm sure they'd like to make it happen now in a perfect world.
Shefty,
does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And you're dealing throughout the league, Shefty. How is Howie Roseman perceived throughout the league?
Sharp, intelligent, aggressive, shrewd.
All right, all the things Philly likes to hear.
Yep.
loves food analogies. We know that. We know he loves food analogies. Shefty, always great catch up with you, man. Continue to stay busy, stay strong throughout all the craziness, and good luck with the mask and gloves, my friend.
Yeah, you too, guys. I appreciate it. We'll be in touch. Be well. Stay safe. We'll talk next week.
You got
absolutely.
It, Shefty. Be good.
Adam Schefter joining us right there. Hey, look, bottom line, is it likely that Yannick Ngakoue comes to the Eagles? No, it's not likely. However, Shefty did say when you just try to evaluate teams that really like pass rush, he talked about the Giants, the Browns, the Raiders, the Las Vegas Raiders. First time I've written that. Also the Seattle Seahawks and the Philadelphia Eagles. So you talk about five teams that could be in that market. Hey, couple that with the idea that the Eagles like to kick the tires on everything. And that at least is a little comforting to think about a guy being added to this defensive line that is already stacked with a guy like Javon Hargrave, for instance, with a guy like Fletcher Cox, Malik Jackson, Derek Barnett hopefully takes that step forward this year, and our next guest who will join us in 13 minutes, who's doing some great stuff throughout the community. We hope to be joined by Brandon Graham coming up at 8:30.
World champs, baby. That's all I got to say.
Time of the Fanatic, 8:16.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.